Hi, Millie.
Hey, Carmen.
What's up?
Just, you know, starting the murder show for today.
Oh, the murder show.
The murder show. You ready?
Welcome. I'm so ready. I'm so excited. Seriously.
Well, today I have the story of Jasmine Block and her really heroic escape from three predators. So here we go.
Do I know this story?
Her name.
Is this a well-known story?
It happened in 2017 in Minnesota.
Oh, I don't think I know it. Oh, I'm so excited. That's amazing.
Okay. So I'm doing a storytelling lens today. I tried really hard on this one, okay. So let's do
nice.
It.
Nice.
Earl Melchert had returned home on September 5th, 2017 to retrieve a gas can he had forgotten that morning. He had plans to mow his lawn after work and would need to fill the can up with diesel on his way home. This was so rare that he was ever home in the afternoons. It's literally because he forgot the gas can that morning. He was never home at this time, ever. As Earl got back...
This is like the universe working, isn't it?
Yes, it is the universe working. So as Earl got back in his car to return to work, he saw something running towards him in his cornfield. At first, Earl thought it was a deer. And then, as it got closer, he realized it was a person. And a few seconds later, he made out the face of a young girl he recognized from the missing posters around town, Jasmine Block.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Right away, Earl knew this was the girl who had gone missing from Alexandria, Minnesota, 29 days before.
Wow.
So she was running at him. She had no pants on, no shoes, just her shirt, like sprinting towards him.
Yeah. Was he not scared? Because
no, I mean, he's a rural farmer in Minnesota, like literally one of the only houses in that area. Like, I think he's a pretty you know, old school tough seasoned guy.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Okay.
And I think the second, so at first he thought it was a deer, but then the second he saw it was a girl and he recognized her face. So then he was like, shit, I need to help. Like, it wasn't like.
He was scared. That is amazing.
So I'm going to rewind a bit here and give you the story of how Jasmine was abducted. So it was a fun-filled day for Jasmine Block on August 8th, 2017. Jasmine, who was 15 at the time, had been boating with her neighbors, enjoying the last few weeks of summer. School would be starting in September, and Jasmine would be entering her freshman year of high school. And I mean, going on a long boat day, it's a long day. You're in the sun, maybe you're tubing, like... It's a lot on your body, so you get super tired. I remember I would always, like, have the best sleep when I was little after I'd be on the boat.
Yeah.
So when Jasmine got home that night, she had a headache probably from just, like, being in the sun all day. And she was super tired, so she laid down on the couch. At some point that night, Jasmine's mother, Sarah Block, left their mobile home in Alexandria, Minnesota to tend to a family emergency. When Sarah returned, Jasmine was nowhere to be found. Sarah Block said on Dateline, Jasmine told me she was going to go to sleep. I told her I would be back and to feel better, but when I got home, she wasn't there. Jasmine's phone, keys, and purse were left behind, but a pair of her shoes was missing. What happened in those few short hours that Sarah left her daughter at home? Someone the Block family thought they could trust would turn out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. Yeah.
Wow. So we know that it's someone that she knows.
Yes. It was 10:30 p.m. when Thomas Barker came to the Block's front door. You see, Thomas was actually a family friend of the Block's and had known the family since Jasmine was a baby.
Wow. Does he live in the area?
Yes. And on top of that, he was the father of Jasmine's best friend. She knew this man extremely well. So well that when Thomas Barker's car pulled into the Block driveway, Jasmine recognized the sound of his car.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, she knew it was him just by the sound in the driveway.
Wow.
Thomas knocked on the door and asked Jasmine to talk to his son, who, like I said, was, like, best friends with Jasmine. And it's because the son was kind of – he said the son was having, like, a breakdown and he really needed help. So he wanted Jasmine to come help because Jasmine would be the only person that could calm his son down.
Okay. Wait, but this is not the same family emergency that brought the mom to leave. This is a completely separate
thing. Mom left. I could never find out what the family emergency was. I think
it's just something.
Yeah, they're definitely low income. They live in like a very rural part of Minnesota in a mobile home. Mm-hmm. So I think that the mom probably has a lot on her plate. And it's she's a widow, so I think she has to deal with a lot of stuff in their family. Yeah. And I know she has two sisters. Jasmine has two sisters as well. So But Thomas Barker pulled up when the mom left and tricked Jasmine into getting into his car. So
I mean, she has no reason to believe otherwise.
No, he was being totally normal and friendly to Jasmine, and she just agreed to go with him. And she totally trusted him because she left her phone, she left her purse, she literally just put her shoes on. She was like, let me get my shoes.
Yeah. Also, if she's saying that, or if he's saying that someone needs help, who wouldn't be like, I will help, you know?
Like, if your mom, Carmen, came to knock on my door and was like, Carmen needs help, I would go with her in absolutely. A heartbeat, you know?
In a second. No, I totally, yes, absolutely.
She did. She got in the car and she left behind everything, including her cell phone. So when Jasmine first got in the car, everything seemed fine. I mean, she thought she was just going to go help out one of her friends, but then halfway through, Jasmine said she was getting a weird vibe. And that's when Thomas told her that he had been planning to kidnap Jasmine for the past few days because of something that had happened earlier that week. The last time Jasmine had seen Thomas and his son, they had all been on a bike ride. Mm-hmm. Jasmine actually fell off her bike really hard on her rib and like on her ribs. So she lifted up her shirt while they were on the bike ride to see if she had bruised or cut herself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when Thomas saw her lift up her shirt, he knew that he wanted to molest her and kidnap her. And he's the father of six kids.
Yeah, and he's done this before. That's how I feel. I feel like you don't just automatically have a switch flipped in your brain. I feel like these are thoughts that he's had maybe with other people before.
Yeah, or maybe this is like the first time he acted on it, but he like...
Yeah, that is so sketchy.
It's so sketchy. That's when he knew that he wanted to take her.
Wow.
He'd been like plotting over the next few days. And when he saw that Jasmine's mom's car wasn't there, he decided to go for it.
So he was just driving by and took advantage of the opportunity.
I think that he had been like kind of casing the house, waiting for a time when Jasmine was alone to take her.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Was this the family that they went on the boat trip with?
No. The family that they went up boating with was like just a neighbor. And they lived in an area that has a lake. So it was just like in the backyard.
So he basically just probably assumed that she was home.
Yeah. He somehow knew she was home alone. So.
Okay.
And I mean, it's 10:30 at night.
Sure. Yeah.
Thomas took Jasmine to his mobile home in the next town over, Carlos, Minnesota, where he lived with another man, Joshua Holby. And according to Police Chief Richard Wyfels, this is where Jasmine's nightmare began. Jasmine was bound with zip ties, threatened with a gun, and raped by Thomas. Thomas locked her in his bedroom closet and told her to keep quiet. And like I said earlier, Thomas Barker shared his mobile home with another man, Joshua Holby. And I'm going to just call him Josh from here on out. So from what I can tell, he didn't even try to hide this from Josh. Like, I'm not sure if Josh was aware of the plan from the beginning, but soon enough, Josh was joining in on torturing Jasmine.
I feel like they talked about this stuff before.
Yeah, because I mean, how does it, your roommate is just down to also torture this young girl. Josh never sexually assaulted her. Thomas.
So what was he doing?
He was like beating her. I'll go into it.
What the fuck?
She's 15. They're abusing her, raping her. She's like, what the fuck is going on? I've known this guy since I was a baby. He's come to our family events before. I'm best friends with his son. Like, she is so confused. Over the next 29 days, the men attempted to murder Jasmine on 6 different occasions. And when they weren't trying to kill her, Thomas was raping her or Jasmine was forced into the closet.
Oh my God.
In the first 2 murder attempts, Thomas and Josh both tried to drown Jasmine in the bathtub. Different sources said that they would put her in a duffel bag and then try to drown her, but she just fought back. She fought back hard and like moved her body around, like really waddled so hard so that they couldn't drown her. And then they just end up giving up twice. So they tried to drown her twice in the bathtub. And then at some point, Josh stabs Jasmine in the stomach and she survives the stabbing. Like, she didn't get medical care for like 20 days after.
Oh my God.
This whole time, Jasmine was just thinking of her family and how much she missed them and how she knew that she had to escape if she wanted to see them again. Because at this point, they've tried to drown her twice and they stabbed her. Around 10 days after Thomas kidnapped Jasmine, a third man is introduced into the mix. That man is Stephen Powers. He was a friend of Thomas Barker's and was at Thomas's mobile home. Thomas told him not to enter his room or go into his closet specifically. Naturally, of course he would go look if someone told you not to. Like, don't look in there.
Sure.
You're going to fucking go look.
It's like putting the apple in front of someone's face or the, what is it? The horse's face and then not giving. What's that saying? You know what I'm saying, right?
I'm not sure I know it.
Baiting the apple? Isn't that a thing?
I think it
or is.
Or is
it the carrot?
The carrot.
The carrot with the horse or something, and then you don't give it and it gets the.
Yeah. Or if you tell someone.
Makes them like want it more.
If you tell someone, don't press the red button. Like, it's like that natural thing.
Yeah.
Like, press the red button or like.
Yes. What happens if I do it?
Or like, don't go in my bathroom right now. It's really dirty. Or like, you just want to go in, you know? It's just like.
Right. It makes things way more desirable. Same thing of like when parents are like, you cannot drink at all. And then kids go to college and literally abuse alcohol so bad.
So it's just like, it's just human psyche. Like, you just do what you are not supposed to do. So.
Exactly.
He wanted to see what the fuck was in the closet. So Stephen Powers went in the closet and found Jasmine, the missing girl from Alexandria. Mm-hmm. He recognized her.
Wait, is this closet locked?
No, but she's never left
alone.
She's
so scared.
So either Josh or Thomas are home at all hours.
Oh, God. That is horrible.
Like any normal person, Stephen was completely outraged and called the police. Just kidding. Instead.
You really got me there, little.
No, he didn't do that. He's a disgusting piece of shit. And instead, he joined in on sexually assaulting her and attempting to murder her.
Okay.
How did these three sickos find each other?
Find each other. Okay, that's why I think that they must have, like, divulged, like, whatever, like, these weird fantasies to each other before.
I think at least Josh and the two original guys.
And the roommate.
Thomas, the guy that kidnapped her, and Josh, the roommate, did. But Stephen Powers is, like, 20 years younger than these guys. He's 21 when this happens.
Are you serious?
And he just.
Why is he friends with, like, this 40-year-old guy? Yeah, it's. But the thing is, I guess, like, these types of people, like, how do they find each other? Well, they gravitate towards one another.
Yeah, and I mean, they're all. Like, what brought them all together was drugs. They're all drug addicts.
Okay.
So they all do meth together. They all drink together. They like to party together. And that's how they met each other. I'm pretty sure.
Right. So this, what's his name again? The dad. Like, he doesn't live with any of his kids and he hasn't.
I'll get into it because.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Important what happens.
Okay.
As I said, Stephen joined in on the sexual assaults. Josh never sexually assaulted her. Then Stephen also tries to kill Jasmine. So after he assaults Jasmine, he convinces the men to try to kill her for a fourth time. And Stephen, they had told Stephen about how they tried to drown her and it didn't work. So this time Stephen stuck a sock in her mouth, covered the sock in her mouth with duct tape, and then attempted to drown her, all three men pushing on her because they thought this would actually kill her this time. So they were all holding her down in the tub with the sock and the duct tape over her mouth. And Jasmine said that she could see blood coming out of her eyes, nose, and mouth. God. And that at that point, she knew she had to fight for her life because she was seconds from dying. She said she could literally see blood coming out of her eyes. She is like fighting so hard against three men. She's a 15-year-old girl.
Right.
She's fighting three men that are trying to drown her, and she somehow gets them off of her and, like, survives the drowning. When she had blood coming out of her eyes, nose, and mouth, like, I'm pretty sure most people would have been dead at that point, for sure.
Yeah.
She is such a fighter. After she survives that murder attempt, the men start to get really, really desperate, and then they try to murder Jasmine by folding her up in the fold-out couch and sitting on her. And they put Josh Holby on it first because he's the fattest one. So they have him sit on her first and try to suffocate her to death in the fold-up couch.
What the fuck?
It's like the Three Stooges trying to murder someone. They're so bad at it, and they're just idiotic.
But also, it's in a way that is sadistic, because if they, okay, one, it could be a stupid thing, but they want to see her suffer, because if they didn't want to see her suffer, they would just get a gun and shoot her in the head. But they obviously want
to. And they have guns. They have guns and they have knives. They're threatening exactly. her so, with guns and knives the whole time.
Oh, really? Oh, shit. Okay.
But like, that's why she doesn't ever run.
Like, they want her to suffer.
It's so terrible.
Or else they would just, you know, like, it's not about the killing her. It's about literally this long drawn out
especially because it's very hard to, it takes a long time to drown someone, it takes a long time to suffocate
and
someone.
Suffocate. Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
but I think exactly. they're all are like ashamed and can't do it, so that's why they folded her up, because they thought if they didn't see her then they could do it, and they all take turns and they all join in on like sitting on the couch, but she is literally the smartest 15-year-old ever, and when they wrapped her up there was a pillow in there, and she put the pillow kind of above her face, yeah. So she had a little bit of a hole with, and had her arms there so she could push and keep space for herself, so she could still breathe.
Oh, she's so
like
smart.
She created an air pocket for herself, basically.
Oh my gosh, she's so smart. Wow.
And then she was also like rolling around to create more space and like just fighting for her life, and they gave up.
Wow.
After that, they throw her back in the closet. So that was the fourth murder attempt. After that, they throw her back in the closet, and she just sits there. Jasmine said she tried to just stay as quiet as possible because she didn't want to remind them that she was even there. And she never knew what they were going to do or if they were going to freak out over, like, the smallest thing. So she said she, like, just would not speak and just wouldn't even make noise or move her body because she didn't want – I mean, meth, especially what the meth that's going around the country right now in the past, like, 8 years, but in – in 8 years in California, but like the rest of the country, it's hit in the past like 5 years. Mm-hmm. It makes you a lot more paranoid and makes you have a lot more like scary thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I just read an article about that today, but it's just a different kind.
Yeah, is it like more similar to bath salts nowadays?
So it's not like, made out of like, they use different kind of chemicals and then that are just affecting our brains differently. Because it used to be all made out of Sudafed, basically, and it was but now. Sudafed has been so highly regulated that people just use all these different chemicals, ranging from photographer chemicals, like cleaning, gardening. Yeah. There's all these chemicals they can use to make meth, and they can't outlaw everything. So,
yeah.
And basically, how chemists used to make meth, like Hell's Angels days in the 80s, they couldn't separate out. There's two byproducts when you put the chemicals together, and one byproduct is the part that gives you like the head high, the brain high, changes your brain chemistry. The second part is the part that makes you, your heart beat really fast and you have like physical symptoms. In the past 10 years, these street chemists have learned how to take out that part that gives you the heart issues and the body
high. So it's kind of getting,
so you
away the negative.
Yeah, and then you can take more and take more and take more, and it's way more powerful in your brain, so it causes way more psychosis issues, basically.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, she's really smart, because if these guys were snorting meth every day, and you never know what someone's going to do, especially on a drug like meth. So
absolutely.
So after that she stays quiet in the closet, blah blah blah. So they would feed her fast food every few days. She was super hungry, stuck in a closet. Yeah. And at one point, they even made her snort some white powder, and she doesn't know what it was, but they were like making her do drugs too. I think it was meth, because they were all messed up through this whole fucking thing. Sure. But
yeah, probably.
So then they tried to kill her again. So we have the two drownings, the two initial drownings,
the stabbing,
the drowning
with the sock.
And the sofa. So they've tried to kill her five times.
Five. Okay.
And
five
this times. Is the sixth time. So she woke up. I don't think she had been in the closet that night, but she woke up and there was plastic covering the whole closet, like Dexter style. And Thomas had this, called it a really long pointy knife. And he said he would stab Jasmine if she didn't listen. The three men made her stand on a stack of three or four buckets and then put a rope around her neck that was hanging from the closet.
Oh, my God.
So she was standing there with a rope around her neck on a stack of three buckets. Josh accidentally bumped the buckets in the closet, and they fell. So she was getting hung. Thomas, the original guy that kidnapped her, the one that's known her since she was a baby, he started freaking out and yelling at Josh to save her and undo the rope and make sure that she doesn't die. And they get the rope off her neck. She gets down and Thomas gets really, really upset and starts talking to Jasmine and says, I'm only trying to kill you because I don't want to get caught with you and I don't want to go to prison. So like, I think it's just easier if I kill you because then I can't go to prison, blah, blah, blah. It's obviously not.
The logic behind these it's stupid not logical. Ass people all the time. I mean,
these guys especially are dumb fucks. Like literally yeah. so mm-hmm. dumb. They're awful. They're mm-hmm. awful criminals. Just yeah. wait. They stay dumb. Thank God they're so stupid.
Thank God. Yeah.
After Thomas tells that to Jasmine, this is when she really thought to herself, like, I need to get the fuck out of here before I wind up dead because
yeah.
they've already tried to kill me 6 times and he's saying that he's going to go to prison unless I die, which first right. of all, not logical, but she's like,
no, but he's thinking of these himself, guys are crazy so and I need to more.
Get the fuck yeah. out mm-hmm. of here. So
right.
Over the first 25-ish days, people had showed up at the mobile home. So she was in the mobile home for the majority of it, Thomas's mobile home. So first, Thomas's wife shows up and they just tell her to stay quiet or we'll kill you. And she doesn't know if the wife knows, you know, like if you're just stuck in there, you're like, I don't even know if this person would save me.
Right. No, definitely. They could be on the side for sure. The wife could easily look at her and be like,
I mean, she's married to this guy and he's awful. Yeah. So who knows? So
sure. She thought she could have trusted the dad.
Exactly. So she doesn't know who to trust. She doesn't know.
Yeah.
So she doesn't say anything. And they said they'll kill her if she makes any noise. So, and then Thomas's mother showed up. And the men once again told Jasmine to be quiet or they would kill her. So she complied. Later on, the women claimed to have no idea that Jasmine was being hidden in the closet when they visited the home.
And do you believe?
I just don't. There's this case. There's actually not that much information. I'll explain why there's not at the end. But
yeah.
there's just not that much information. Like, there's I don't even no way know to these know. People's names, really. So like the wife's name. So.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Right.
In the last week of her captivity, a police deputy showed up at Thomas Barker's mobile home door. The deputy was looking for some stolen property. And these guys are all like addicted to meth and steal shit all the time. So
yeah,
the
cops like know who they are. Such a typical meth head thing to do.
Yeah, yeah so the sure. cops like know who they are. And
did you ever hear about that story about the guy on meth who literally was driving a tank in San Diego?
No.
He stole a military tank from like Miramar or something and was driving it in Claremont. On the streets, high on meth.
I have to look this up.
That I think that my oh my gosh, my sociology professor told us about it because it was my drugs class.
Oh my god!
And he like showed us, and I think it was in the '90s or something.
We'll post a picture on Instagram with this episode.
Yes, it's so funny.
Okay, so I mean, meth things are fucking insane,
crazy, and like the superhuman like strength and idea that you can do anything.
But I mean, it does make sense if you're homeless. To take meth because I think I told you this earlier, but like it's cheaper than food. So and then also when you buy it, you're not hungry, so you don't have to eat for a few days.
It distracts you,
and then you can stay awake all night when you're worried about people stealing your shit on the street or hurting you. So it makes sense why it's taken, but it causes, especially now, it causes psychosis so fast that it's bad shit.
The long term effects are obviously really bad. Not so good. Yeah.
But these men are thieves. The police fucking know who they are. Mm-hmm. They're drug addicts. The police show up at the door. And it's just one police officer. Mm-hmm. And Jasmine knew the cop was there, but they told her that they would kill her and the cop if she made any noise. So she didn't say anything.
I mean, of course she's going to believe them. Hello.
They've already tried to kill her 6 times. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So the cop left. So I don't think they even answered the door for the cop. Everyone was just quiet and acted like no one was home, and the cop left.
He's probably just looking around to see if he could see anything. But
this fucking spooked the men because they're like, if that cop had come in, like had a warrant, they would have found Jasmine. True. So they were freaking out, and they were like, she can't stay here. Like, we've had her here for almost a month. Like, she's not just going to live in your fucking closet forever. You have people coming, your wife, your mother, your kids. Like, she can't fucking...
Oh, by the way, like, at this point, like, you said there was missing posters. Like, there's an active search going
everyone
on,
in
right?
this area. Of course. She's on the news every night. There's missing posters everywhere.
Okay,
there is an active search. Right. Like, this went national when she went missing.
So they must be spooked from that, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, everyone knows what she looks like. Like, yeah, so.
Yeah.
After they decided it was too busy at the mobile home, they stuffed Jasmine in a duffel bag and then threw her in the back of the truck. They let her out of the duffel bag as they drive. It's weird because they give her, like, random concessions. And they don't kill her. They do bring her food. They don't make her stay in the duffel bag the whole time they're riding in the car. You know, like... I don't know if it's because Thomas has known her for so long that he is kind to her in certain ways. But, I mean, he's still sadistic as fuck. But it's just, it's weird. So.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, like, a weird thing that I feel like happens in a lot of
It's like they have this like small this piece of morality.
Yeah.
Or it's like, it's just manners or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. Or it's, like, just, like, the social expectation that they, like, have. And then they, like, disassociate again into their, like, evil persona. Like, something like that.
It's so weird.
They've just been conditioned to do, like you said, like, polite things. And so they do it, and then they go back. I don't know. It's so weird, yeah.
So they head to a cornfield just to kind of, like, regroup because they're super freaked out about the cop. Like, they do this, like, right after the cop shows up.
Oh, wow.
Because they don't know if he's going to come back or what. So
sure.
They also realize, like, they need to ditch all the stuff that they stole that the cop is looking for. So
they did that.
Yes. They're literally thieves. Yeah. They took
the
shit.
Wait, but the one that he was, like, looking for this time?
Yeah, the shit the cop is looking for, they literally stole. So they're like, fuck, we got to get rid of that, too. We got to get out of the mobile home. So...
Oh, my God.
They leave one of the men with Jasmine in the cornfield, and then two of the men go back to the mobile home. Once all of the men are back with Jasmine at the cornfield, they decide to take Jasmine to a foreclosed property in rural Grant County. So I'm going to refer to this place as the cabin or the log cabin from here on out. So it's foreclosed on. I guess they knew it was foreclosed. Mm-hmm. And so they knew no one was going to be around there. And it's in a really rural area, so there's not many neighbors. Mm-hmm. She gets to the log cabin, and this is day 29 of Jasmine's captivity. She's been in the log cabin for maybe 2 or 3 days.
Okay.
She's been brought to this other location. They've raped her, assaulted her, forced her to take drugs, and tried to kill her on 6 different times. She was strangled so hard she could literally see blood coming out of her eyes. And this whole time, she was not left alone once. Like, one of the men was always watching over her, so she didn't feel like she could ever escape. However, the day before this – so this is the 29th day of her captivity – the day before this, Thomas and Stephen went to pick up drugs, and on their way back to the cabin, they saw a cop. Just saw a cop. They literally just saw the police officer. Like, they were in their own car driving, and there was, like, a cop car that was, like, near them.
Mm-hmm.
So they threw the drugs.
Just doing patrols.
Just being a normal cop. Like, they threw the drugs out of the window, and they just threw them out of the window and kept driving and went back to the cabin. The next day, these dumbasses were like, we need to go look for the drugs that we threw out of the window.
Oh.
So all three of them, and all three of them are like so meth heads, and they need the meth that they just bought. So they all go to look for it.
So the one thing that led them to leave her alone is because they're all fucking tweakers.
And
they all want to be the ones to find it.
And they threw it out of the window because they just saw a random cop. It's not like the cop came and talked to them or anything.
Yes,
like, literally nothing happened with the cop. They just threw it out the window.
I'm glad these guys
they're
are fucking
so stupid.
I'm happy.
They all three left. And as they were leaving, the men told Jasmine, if you do anything dumb, we're going to kill you.
Okay.
So this was the first time in 29 days she was ever alone.
Yeah.
And they left her with the truck. I guess they walked or they had a second car, but she was left in the truck.
Oh, okay. Wait, so she's not in the cabin?
No.
Okay.
She's in the truck. I don't think that they couldn't get into the cabin, but they were using the truck and then also like the back area.
Yes. So it's like, it's just like the area around it.
At the time, she was drawing a picture of her and her family. So I guess that was another concession. He gave her like things to draw with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when she was drawing that, they were leaving her alone. She was sitting in the truck and she realized like, if I'm ever going to escape, I need to go now. She jumped out of the truck and ran when they were out of sight. The first house she ran to, no one was home. And this is a very rural area. There's not many houses.
Also, that's so hard to run through cornfields.
And I don't think this where she was woods, but then you'll see where the cornfield is. So,
okay.
The second house she ran to, she knew that there were people inside, but they didn't answer.
She says
she thinks it's because her knocking wasn't loud enough and there were a bunch of like loud kids in the house. But sure. I mean, still, come on. This girl has been missing for 29 days. Someone opened the fucking door for her. Like,
yeah. I don't know. That's like, oh gosh, what a bad like situation. But there's so many occasions where like people just don't answer the door because they don't have like the time and they just assume it's a solicitor or something like this. And if they're not expecting anyone, they just don't answer.
And she says she was never mad at them. Like in this interview she had, she was like,
yeah,
they just didn't hear me. I didn't knock loud enough. And I'm like, sweetie, we're doing everything. Like, no.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. Nothing that you did was bad.
She kept running and then she realized she hit a dead end and there were no more houses. And they were on a lake and she looked across the lake and saw one house over there. So she started swimming.
She swam.
Before she started swimming, she took off her shoes and pajama pants so that she would be able to swim faster. And I mean, she was thinking so fast on her feet. Like, I feel like I could have just like jumped in the water. Like, I wouldn't even thought to take off my shoes, you know?
That is so smart because it's true that it makes you a lot heavier.
Yeah.
And it drags, like it obviously drags in the water.
And when she finally got across the lake, she knocked on the door of the third house and no one opened the door.
Oh my God.
She started running through the house's cornfield and saw Earl, the homeowner, in his car.
Oh my God.
She ran through the field and opened his car door and she said, call 911. I'm Jasmine Block and I was kidnapped.
Oh my God.
And so now we're back at the beginning of our story.
She is so, so brave.
She and so smart. So brave. Like such a badass.
Yeah, it was 100%.
Number one badass. Like, I have 15 to think through all of these things.
I can't.
And to survive these three grown men trying to murder you.
Right.
That is the story of her abduction and how her amazing escape. Mm-hmm. And
wow.
I really want, there's like a few more parts of the story that are just like really interesting. And a few of them are great and some of them are kind of sad. But before Jasmine was abducted, she had lost her best friend, her father, and her sister's best friend all in 1 month. And she said she knew that they were watching over her and helping her to escape, and that is how she got the courage to run away that day.
Oh, my God.
And then she said, and, like, what makes this even crazier is that her friend that died actually died from drowning. So she had a really big fear of drowning, and she wasn't a strong swimmer at all. So when it was time to go across the lake, she was really, really, really scared. And she, like, could feel the presence of her, like, her friend and her sister's friend and her father. And so she, like, knew that she would make it across the lake because she knew that they were helping her get there.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know. I was like, oh, my God. You did have guardian angels, like, getting you out of there. And that's – I mean, honestly, I wonder how many people survive once they're at the point where blood is literally coming out of their face when they're getting suffocated. Like, she had these people protecting her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she had the faith in herself.
Yeah.
And felt their strength.
As for the perpetrators of this horrific abduction, all three men pleaded guilty. Thomas Bark.
Thank fucking God.
I mean, if they would have gotten life in
prison.
Don't
even try to fight that, please.
I mean, they all got pretty good deals too, unfortunately. So, except I would say Thomas Barker, who is the ringleader. He pleaded guilty to kidnapping, criminal sexual conduct in the first degree with a dangerous weapon, and criminal sexual conduct in the first degree causing fear of great bodily harm. These are all felony level charges. And under the plea deal, Barker will serve 25 years in prison and will be registered as a sex offender. After he serves 25 years, he is subject to a limited conditional release for the rest of his life following prison.
I feel like that's not long enough.
I didn't know what a limited conditional release was, so I looked it up, and it's kind of a special thing in Minnesota, and it means that the person they have to serve their time in prison, and they don't get out early. Like, they serve their full time in prison.
Oh, okay.
And then
so not even for good behavior. No,
they like serve their full prison sentence, and then after they're released from prison, the person is on strict supervision from the Department of Corrections for a period of time established by law. This can be 5 years, 10 years, or lifetime.
Okay.
So Thomas is lifetime. And this isn't just parole. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, they literally are on like strict supervision, have to be at the back at home at a certain hour. Can't leave before a certain hour.
Right.
Like,
it's not just meeting up with your officer once a week.
No. It's like every day they're under strict supervision, and he's going to be like that for the rest of his life.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. And he also has cerebral palsy. So when he's out of jail in 65 years, I don't think he will be as much of a bodily threat. When he's in 25 years, when he's like 65, you know, so Joshua Holby pleaded guilty to 2 counts of kidnapping, which are felony offenses. So under Minnesota guidelines, and because Holby had no priors, he will serve 7 years and 2 months in prison.
They didn't want to charge him for like battery or assault.
I think it's because it was a plea deal. They gave him like an easier charge than just charging him for, I'm sure in the original charges, he was charged for a lot and then he pleaded just to the 2 counts
and
of
none
kidnapping.
Of them got okay, but also none of them got attempted murder.
No,
what the fuck is that about?
I know, but I think it's because they all just gave them plea deals instead of charging them for everything. So
I mean, I do think it's better to just take a guilty plea 100% and you don't make the victim go through a trial. I definitely believe that.
Yeah. So Stephen Powers, the last of the three men, he also pled guilty. He pled to criminal sexual conduct in the second degree and kidnapping. He is expected to serve 8.5 years in prison.
I feel like that's not long enough. No,
especially because he sexually assaulted her and she's a minor.
That's not long enough. Yeah.
And he's only 21.
Or the same
and Joshua
thing.
Holby.
Yeah,
Joshua
exactly.
Holby's younger than Thomas Barker too, so they're still gonna.
Yeah, they can do it again.
Unfortunately, as you can imagine, Jasmine has a lot to deal with in the aftermath of this horrific crime. She says she sees the three men's faces every time she closes her eyes. She's bullied at school for the things that happened to her.
Oh my God, that is on another level of fucked up.
Yeah.
Are you joking?
The kids fucking bully her for getting, like, assaulted.
That is disgusting.
It is.
I can't believe.
Kids. It's so bad.
I hate kids, but also kids in this era, 2017, like, you don't have an excuse to not be educated on the topic of fucking bullying.
It's so bad. And then she literally is getting bullied at school because her friend's dad kidnapped her, raped her, and tried to murder her.
That is disgusting.
Yeah.
That makes me so pissed. These kids don't deserve to go to school.
She wrote a statement and... for Thomas Barker, her mom read it at Thomas Barker's like trial.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when he pled guilty, she read it, and that's when she talked about like, I'm being bullied at school and all this stuff.
Oh my God.
She's dealing with PTSD, depression, anxiety, and more. She barely leaves her home because she does not feel safe. And these are all like real life issues that Jasmine's gonna have to live with for the rest of her life. So,
yeah.
I got a lot of this information from an interview Jasmine did with Dr. Phil. Like, they had a special with Jasmine on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that interview, Dr. Phil announced he was going to pay for her therapy with the leading PTSD therapist in the country, which, I mean, you can have whatever opinions you want on Dr. Phil. I think that's, like, a really good thing for Jasmine in the end because her family is not
– yeah,
doesn't have access to those sorts of things. Based on where they live in the country, their socioeconomic status, they just don't have access to that. So I think it's great that it got his attention and she's getting access.
That's amazing, for sure.
And then to end on a happier note, originally Earl Melcher, the guy who Jasmine found, I guess. I hate to say he found her because Jasmine saved herself and found him. But
sure. The guy that was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, so he wished to stay anonymous. And so in the first interviews, like, his face isn't even there. It's either blacked out or it's, like, they're interviewing the back of his head and he's answering questions because he didn't want to be, like, this isn't, he said, this story is not about me. It's about Jasmine.
Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Respect.
She's the hero. And Jasmine Block mm-hmm. was anonymous because she was a minor at the time. Mm-hmm. I felt comfortable sharing her name and her story because she's been on the news a ton since then and had mm-hmm. a full on Dr. Phil special surrounding her name. Sure. So mm-hmm. I thought it was okay to share on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And as for Earl, after some time, like, it's a really small town, so people knew that it was him that saved her, yeah. and it got out into the news. There was a $7,000 reward for any information leading to Jasmine. And since mm-hmm. Earl technically found Jasmine, he was given mm-hmm. the money, mm-hmm. but Earl gave all the money back to Jasmine.
Oh, good.
He is, like, a struggling farmer, and he said that he could have definitely used yeah. the money, but he said that girl saved herself and she and her family need the money yeah. much more than me, especially after everything that happened.
Sure, sure, sure.
She really did find an angel in Earl too.
Oh, she found the best person possible.
Yeah.
And that's why the other houses, there was no one, because that was the person that was going to help her through this mm-hmm. 100%. And probably, I hope that they talk now and that he's there for her now.
I did see an interview where Jasmine's mother talked to him on the phone in the interview, like the yeah. reporters were recording.
Oh, that is
so
amazing.
I do hope they're still in contact. And I think it's yeah. like, it shows his character to give the money back to Jasmine because, like, she did save herself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That was a really amazing story of Jasmine Block and her
escape. Amazing. I know there's not a lot of information, but I do have, like, still a lot of questions.
Okay, I can try to answer them. Let me know.
Yeah, if you know. So I'm curious, like, maybe it's not fair for us to, like, delve into this person's life, and they are probably anonymous, but the friend, like, how do you deal with that? That your dad?
Oh, yeah, the son of Thomas.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. And okay, so the crazy thing is, the day that Jasmine escaped, it was the first day she was supposed to start high school.
Oh, my God.
She, like, went back to school a week later. And I hope that – I didn't see anything about if she's still friends with the son, but I yeah. hope she is and that he defends her, but I don't know.
Me too. That's just, like, so much to deal with. Like, obviously, and what Jasmine dealt with is always going to be more.
Her face was everywhere. Everyone knows what happened to mm-hmm. her. It's not a secret. Mm-hmm. And in yeah. small towns, like, rumors – fly, like, even yeah. I just visited my friend Lizzie in a small town in Louisiana mm-hmm. and they know everything about everyone.
Ugh, I fucking hate that. I cannot
no, I mean
like
I can't do it because, like, none of the dramas you love the dramas about me.
You're nosy.
So I'm like, oh my God,
it's good to visit those places and get it from the third
what
party.
Is all this tea, you know everything about their life.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh, sure.
I mean, if
sure.
it was me, I would be dying.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like,
no, I'm a city person.
They literally know everything about everyone. Like, every single neighbor, wow. they know all their, like, dirty drama. And so
sure.
I can't imagine what the rumors that are being passed around about Jasmine and what happened to her. And it's definitely getting to the kids, you know, like, the kids all know.
Yeah, I feel like they all, like, the kids know. And then, like, Thomas's family, like.
Thomas has 6 kids of his own.
Exactly. And how do you get past that? I'm very curious about this because for one of my classes, I had to watch this film that was the son of a Nazi official. And he was making a documentary of, like, how him and his siblings have, like, come to terms with realizing that your parent is actually, like, a really disgusting, shitty war criminal or person. And people go into, like, his siblings, like, completely went into denial. And he was, like, the only one that would, like, say that his dad was a Nazi. And it's just, like, how, like, people shut down. And
I'm sure that Thomas's
kids are also going to need
yeah,
therapy.
I'm sure. And they can't yeah. afford it. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that some of his kids are on his side and some of his kids aren't. But there's 6 of them.
I hope not. Yeah. That's fucking tough. Like, obviously what Jasmine went through is always going to be harder. But it just shows you, again, like, what we talked about before of, like, these things have so many victims and, like, so many, like, consequences to them. Like, it really affects so many people's lives and ruins so many people's lives.
It's so fucked up. Okay, what's yeah. the next question? Do you have one?
My other question, and I forgot. I guess that's it. Oh, my question is, like, what was the police involvement in the case? And was it efficient? Like, was it good? Or
well, I just I
like was it I, was it the mom leading the search?
So the mom got it into national attention. She went on Dateline while Jasmine okay. was still yeah. missing. Mm-hmm. And
oh wow, okay, yeah,
they definitely had searches for her. But Thomas's Thomas lived in the next town over. He didn't even live in her town, mm-hmm. so I don't think they ever thought to search his mobile home. Like the mom in the Dr. Phil interview I watched, mm-hmm. she was like, I literally could not believe it was him. Like, he is one of the last people obviously. I would think. Like, yeah. I'm so disappointed in him. He's known my girls since they were babies. Like, I can't, yeah. like, I can't fathom mm-hmm. it. So I don't think the police mm-hmm. were even thinking it could have been him, you know? Because mm-hmm. it's also random.
That just wasn't the direction they were going.
It's just random.
Yeah, it's completely.
Like, you would think it would be someone that's, like, I don't, you know, like, they say you know the abductor usually, though. So, like.
Yeah, that's more, like, the probability yeah, is higher so, that you know the person.
It, but it got a lot of national attention, and definitely her mom was, like, fighting for that.
On it. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. I'm just so happy that she escaped. I'm so happy that she made it back to her family. I'm just very, very happy.
I think that she is, like, one of the most brave, courageous people I've ever heard of. Yeah. Like, to go through all of that and fight for your fucking life. Like, you are such a boss. Absolutely. And she should be so proud
such
of herself.
Such an inspiration. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm fuck all those kids that are bullying her.
Those kids don't deserve to go to school. I'm sorry. If you can't go to school and just act normal.
They're pieces of shit. I'll bully them.
I'll bully them too. I'm not above bullying kids that are bullies. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not. But I really think that it's such a basic thing. Stay fucking home.
Keep your mouth fucking shut. Like,
shut up. Look at your book. You don't need to look anywhere else other than a book and read and listen. And that's all you need to do. And mind
leave her the
business.
Fuck alone.
Like, this is not, I can't even believe that. And if I was the parent of a kid that was that shitty to bully a girl that went through this, oh boy.
I would come in guns blazing. Like, you want to fuck with my daughter?
No. I can't. It makes me so mad. It makes me so mad.
Well, anyways, Jasmine, if you need us to bully anyone, we'll fucking do it for you.
Jasmine, I you literally inspire me. I'm so, so happy. And just sending you all the best yes. thoughts. And we love you. We're inspired by you. I loved this story, Lily. That was so good. Seriously, what a good choice.
We needed something with a little bit more hope at the end against Dean Coral.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was really good. Thank you so much. Aww. Okay. Bye, you guys.
Bye. You can follow us. Everything's at Murder Show Pod, basically. So,
pretty much, yeah. Okay.
Love you guys. Thank you. Bye,
love
Carmen.
You.
Love you.
Bye, Lily. Love you too. Bye. Thank you.